All this week, our co-host, Melissa Block, is reporting from Sichuan Province in China. It's almost a year since the massive earthquake that struck southwestern China. People there are still working to rebuild their homes and their lives. Helping them do that is an American woman, an earthquake engineer from Illinois. And Melissa has this story.
Elizabeth Hausler is the founder of a young nonprofit group called Build Change. Her message is this: earthquakes don't kill people, bad buildings do. And as we drive through villages outside the city of Mianzhu, she can see in an instant whether the new construction underway all around us is solid or shoddy.
Okay, here's one.
Yes.
Bricks with some cement.
That looks pretty good, except those lintels over the doors are too short.
Elizabeth Hausler is 40 with a PhD in civil engineering. She's the daughter of a mason and a skilled mason herself. She spent summers laying brick where she grew up outside Chicago.
It looks like their concrete quality is not so good. You could see that beam in the front looked like when they pulled the formwork off, they pulled half the concrete off as well. So that didn't look so good.
The villagers here are in a frenzy of rebuilding. Their new houses are rising from the rubble of the old ones. And Hausler wants to make sure they're not repeating the mistakes of the past.
So you're about to start on the masonry wall. So I want to really encourage you to make sure that the workers are soaking the bricks in water before they build the wall. It will make the wall a lot stronger.
We've come to the village of Xinlu, where 11 homes are being rebuilt at a frantic pace. Hausler moves around the work site in jeans and work boots, her long blonde hair in a ponytail under a yellow Build Change hard hat. Cement mixers churn out mortar. Workers hustle by with wheelbarrows and shovels and planks. Dump trucks offload huge piles of orange brick.
The bricks that we've seen here in the field are generally pretty good, but one of the best ways of testing bricks, hear how it kind of makes a metallic clink? That's a good sign. That's the kind of sound that we want to hear in a brick.
Village leaders invited Build Change to work here, so a team is climbing around with tape measures and checklists to make sure the work is being done right. The Build Change construction team leader, a 24-year-old Spitfire named Huang Yan, delivers a scolding to the homeowners. She urges them to take more responsibility. There are only a few of us, she says. We need your cooperation. If we all work together, I can guarantee that your houses will be safe. One of the villagers, Li Wenfu, approaches us with a big smile. He says he's a farmer, 100%.
Mr. Li, would you show us your home? This is your house right here? Hi, you've got several walls that are already going up.
For the last year, Li and his family have been living in a makeshift hut with no walls. He cobbled it together out of the debris from his old home, which completely collapsed in the earthquake. He nailed together some pieces of wood, put sacks that used to hold Sichuan peppercorns over that, and covered them with thatch. It was cold in the winter, he says, but what could we do? Li hopes his family can move into the new home by July. His face crinkles with delight as he thanks Elizabeth Hausler for keeping tabs on the quality.
It's our pleasure. Very happy to be here. We'll have staff out here almost every day, so you'll always have someone from Build Change that you can ask a question.
So we're standing here in front of Mr. Li's house. What do you think, Elizabeth, when you look at this house?
Mr. Li's got some good masons. So we've seen some good masonry in China and some bad masonry in China, but he looks like he's gotten pretty lucky. So he's gotten off to a good start.
But she's concerned he doesn't have enough steel framing his new home to make it earthquake resistant. She'll want him to fix that, to reinforce the masonry.
When we use reinforced concrete columns and beams around the masonry walls, they act like a rubber band. They tie the walls together. So if the wall cracks a little bit, it won't collapse.
You know, I'd think these are people who don't have a lot of money. Mr. Li was just talking about being a poor farmer. I can imagine easily that they would think, well, sure, I would love to have more steel. I'd love to have better masonry. I'd love to have a lot of things. I can't afford it.
Yeah, we get that a lot, especially when I come along, because they automatically expect that I'm going to want them to build to a higher standard that they can't achieve. But we've managed to kind of condense our suggestions down to what makes the biggest impact, the most important things that need to be done to make the house safe.
Elizabeth Hausler has traveled to earthquake zones all around the world after quakes in India, Iran, Indonesia, Peru, and now China. The village party secretary, Yang Tingming, comes by the worksite. He's got a heavy keychain on his belt loop and a concerned look on his face. He says, what I care about most is quality. What I worry about most is also quality.
Do you worry about what would happen if another earthquake were to hit in this area?
I'm not worried. If we had houses built like this before the earthquake, we wouldn't have had problems.
A village woman chimes in. We felt aftershocks yesterday and the day before. We all felt them.
How strong?
Mild. Rather mild, but we could feel it. Look, we went through an 8.0 earthquake. This was nothing. What we call a little kiss. Not a big deal.
Robert, those villagers in Xinle in Sichuan, China, talking about aftershocks there, and there have been thousands of aftershocks since the earthquake last year, most of them very mild, but certainly enough to rattle people's nerves as well as their roof tiles. Elizabeth Hausler of Build Change says she hopes they're giving these homeowners a sense of security, giving them peace of mind along with their stronger homes.
Melissa, it sounds like a race against the clock.
It is, and she says for people who've already got their buildings going up with inferior construction, she's too late. But she does figure that even with a small staff, 16 people in this one small corner of this huge earthquake zone, that they can make maybe 6,000 or 7,000 homes safer, and that represents about 20,000 or 30,000 people.
Are they building according to any codes that will actually be enforced?
That's been a little confusing. There was a disaster management law that was passed last year. It requires rural buildings, like the ones we saw, to withstand an earthquake, but there are really no teeth. There are a lot of guidelines, but no mandates. That said, Elizabeth Hausler told me that based on what she's seen, absolutely, people are rebuilding way better than before.
So the new village will be significantly different from the old one?
It looks completely different. I mean, you'll remember from your time here that old homes in the countryside were scattered around fields in a pretty random way. These new houses are very close together. They're all in one long, neat row, one right after the other, laid out on a grid, very orderly. And the idea behind this kind of consolidation, one of the ideas, is it makes it easier for the government eventually to provide public services like water and sewage and trash. The trade-off, though, for the people may be that they end up losing some living space, and eventually, that'll mean more land that the government can use for development. I should mention one other thing here, Robert, and that has to do with the pace of all this. Mm-hmm. The government wants this rebuilding to happen quickly. Millions of people, as we said, have been left homeless, and they're losing patience. There are fears of social unrest, instability, if they don't get people into these new homes fast.
So a race against the clock in many ways. Thanks, Melissa.
You're welcome, Robert.
That's our co-host Melissa Block reporting this week from Sichuan Province in China. And you can see photos of those homes being built and read our blog, Chengdu Diary, all at npr.org.